Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon, so much. God bless that boy. Does this for me every Tuesday and Thursday, and I just love to hear that voice. Speaking of voices, hold on to your hats, because I did not really get the full impact of our next guest until the other day. Now, certainly, I knew that we were talking about a first call, critically acclaimed, multiple award-winning, classically trained, world-class drummer. I already knew that. I already knew that we had a composer of some rare abilities and producer and founding member of the heralded group 4Play, the only group, by the way, in history to be distinguished from members of the U.S. Congress. They declared that 4Play was so distinguished in their particular endeavors in the musical industry that Congress gave them a special award. I'm glad to say that it's not this Congress. It was a Congress from a few years ago, but nonetheless, it wasn't until the other day when I heard this esteemed gentleman talk on the air how cool he was and what kind of sexy voice Harvey Mason had. Harvey, it's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, my goodness, Trish. What an interview. I mean, what an introduction. That's amazing.
Oh, wow. Look at what's amazing is the fact that you have done all of what you've done, Harvey Mason, and lived to tell the tale. You have one of the best stories I have ever heard.
Well, you know, I laud you for really digging into it and finding out so much. And most people don't really dig that deep when they're going to do an interview, but you're totally prepared. I heard stuff from you that I've forgotten about. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at myself, you know.
Well, look, you know what? Here's the connection that I love about you, and you don't know this. We probably were running in the same circles when we were little guys. You and I are not that far apart in age. You were in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and I was spending a whole lot of time in Ocean City right down the street.
Oh, wow. One of my best friends, life friends, is from Ocean City.
Really?
So I spent a little time in Ocean City, a couple clubs there, too. Yeah, the guy in my band, my first band, was from Ocean City. He's a guitarist.
Oh,
and I used to go to see him in Ocean City. Oh, yeah.
So, you know what? This is so wild. Your roots are in AC, and I'm always going to think about you and AC now together. But when you were a little guy, what were you listening to in the way of radio there? What was gravitating to you?
Well, I think it's the call letters were, I think, WMID, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, was that it?
And yes.
I listened to all kinds of music. Sunday mornings, I listened to gospel. I listened to R&B. They played everything pop. They had a jazz show and classical music. I listened to everything. You know, it's really funny, but when I was a kid, I had what I thought was a gift. I could listen to music that I'd never heard before and be able to sing and hum and know where it was going, even though I'd never heard it. I used to brag about that and be able to hear it yet. I called it hearing around the corners because I could hear what was going to happen before it happened. And I did that from a very early age as a kid. I think it helped me with listening, and I think it helped me with writing.
And Harvey, that's so wild because I picked that up about you. I love the fact that you went to Berklee and the New England Conservatory, and you were getting classical training and learning how to orchestrate. But meanwhile, you were paying your way by doing jingles and gospel music and everything. But actually, you were learning what you pretty much intuitively knew anyway, weren't you?
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct. I discovered my senior year that I really wanted to be a studio musician. I read an article about it, and I really wasn't that fascinated and excited about going on the road and being a musician because I'd experienced seeing all the guys come through town. I saw how they lived. But when I read about being a studio musician, the bell went off, and I just said, I'm going to get as prepared as I can with every kind of music because I'd already been playing music professionally since I was about 14. Mm. So I just went to school and studied and studied and studied and prepared and came out to L.A. and was really fortunate to be able to get in.
And how important was it for you? Because I mean, people perceive of you in so many different ways, and there's immediately a smile that I can either see or I can hear when your name is mentioned. People think of you as this absolute groove master who was working with Herbie and Donald Byrd, and my gosh, all different kinds of pop and jazz and rock cats. So here you are, you're getting trained in the way in which to go, and you were enveloping yourself in that training. Did you foresee that all this was going to happen?
You know, to tell you the truth, I never knew the end, but I knew that I just wanted to play and work with everyone that I could, and I did feel that I was prepared to play all different kinds of music because I loved all kinds of music. I really loved listening, so I was prepared, and I wanted to play all kinds of music. I had no idea what the end would be, that I actually would achieve that, and actually, as it was going along, I was so involved in it that I never checked, and then when the internet came into vogue, I started beginning to see compilations of the body of work that I've done, and I was amazed, to tell you the truth. I'm still kind of amazed at, you know, 30 years of being in the studios and compiling a record like that. It's just pretty wild. To me, it's amazing.
Well, you know what?
I feel very fortunate.
You really have been blessed in some big ways, and your work ethic is so crazy. Harvey, when I think about the fact that, you know, I think about it in terms of my son. My son is 20, and he's on the dean's list. Yay!
That's great.
I know. So I think about his journey in college and then shooting back to you when you were in school, because you were studying hard and learning hard, but you were also working hard. At some points, weren't there like 3-4 sessions in a given day? You were working really strong at a really young age, so it kind of prepared you for everything, didn't it?
It did, because I came from a very, very poor family. And I had to pay everything in school. I went to school and I had a debt of $131.60. I see the pay stub right now. $131.60 I had to pay every month for my first year of school. And after
wow.
a year, three semesters at Berkeley, New England Conservatory invited me to come and they gave me a full scholarship. So I ended up going there and graduating with my degree in education and performance. And now I'm on the board of New England Conservatory, which I'm happy to say.
Oh, that is so wild. And how much value do you place on that education? I guess pretty high, don't you?
Absolutely. And I counsel young people when they go to school to really take advantage of everything they have, because you never know which direction you're going to be able to go. And for me, it's been a godsend, because I've been able to write, I've been able to produce, I've been able to play in orchestras. I play with amazing orchestras, London Symphony Orchestra, live, and as a percussionist, I've done that. And the first 3 years I was in L.A., I did not play drums. I was a percussionist only. I just played vibes and mallets and timpani and all that sort of thing. And it was, you know, and fortunately I studied that and really had that in my belt, because that's what actually got me into the studios.
And what was that pivotal moment? There is a story or two about that transition from percussion to somebody saying to you, hey, you want to play drums on this gig? And you said, sure.
Very funny.
Didn't you have a baptism of fire of sorts?
Oh, yeah. There were a couple guys that saw me play, and I played a couple of things, like I did the Silver's Misdemeanor record, and that became a hit. I was doing a TV show with Quincy playing percussion, the Bill Cosby show, and they came on the set to play their single, and they said, there's our drummer back there, Harvey Mason, I'm playing percussion. Everybody turns around and looks. Quincy says, you play drums? I had no idea. So, you know, he started using me, and then I was on a gig once with Jerry Mulligan, and I was playing vibes, by the way, with Jerry Mulligan. Figure that out.
Wow.
And the drummer was late. He was an hour late. He was getting onto an hour and a half. And they said, oh, we're going to have to start. And I said, well, I can play drums. And they said, okay. And I played. And then they fired the drummer and kept me.
Man, that is something else. Woo.
But what's really special about that is that Dave Grusin was the pianist on that date. And he heard me play. And from that period on, I did every movie and the record that he ever did, except maybe when I was hurt. But that's it. Did everything with him. We became lifelong friends.
Isn't that
something?
I
introduced him to Lee Ritenour after that, who I'd known. So it's just wild how things happen, you know. But,
yeah, and it's getting to be a smaller world, isn't it, Harvey, when you realize the associations that people have and the sort of brotherhood and sisterhood that folks in the music industry, now that some of us have been at this certain age, now we're at this certain age, and we look back and we see that, like, for example, I was putting together the show, and I happened to see that Ralph McDonald wrote Mr. Magic, and you were a part of that huge success story with Grover Washington Jr. And I see that Ralph McDonald played percussion on Breezin for George Benson, and you were also playing drums on that.
Ralph. Ralph and I go back with a lot of great records.
Yeah, and Phil Upchurch, he was playing on Grover's Mr. Magic. He was playing on Breezin, and I'm thinking to myself, wow. People go back a long way, and the networking capabilities then were so cool, because it seemed as though when you made a friendship or a bond, you kept it. Am I right about that?
I really have. I really did, and you did. I met Bob James on Mr. Magic. I'd never met him before, and they called me to come to New York to play in a session for the CTI Cree Taylor. I met Bob James. I met Alf McDonald, I met Eric Gale, and, you know, that host of guys. And Bob and I immediately struck it off because he was a golfer and he was a very, very cool guy. So he and I became friends immediately. And to tell you the truth, everyone else was a little chilly because I think Steve Gadd had been doing the drum sessions there, and someone else, and Billy Cobham, and they brought me in. Everybody's singing, who's this guy? And they gave me the cold shoulder, but Bob was the first guy. Bob was the first guy that came up and introduced himself to me. It was really nice. And we had something in common because I think at the time I was wearing a golf hat. He said, you play golf? And he was a member of a club. He invited me to play at his club, and we became friends for life. That was it. We're friends for life.
I love Bob.
We have a love affair. And you talked about unity and friendship. That's what's happening with 4Play, because our new record, Esprit de Four, is about unity, friendship, all for one. One for all, you know, and that's what it's all about with us. That's why we've been together 22 years. And we right now with Chuck Loeb joining the band, our link is complete. You know, he fits our band so perfectly because he's a great, great guy. He plays great. He's so multi-talented and he's so diverse that we envision and hope that he stays with us longer than Larry. Larry was 13 years, so.
I know.
We can do that, you know, and so we're just having a ball. That's what it's about, relationships and maintaining relationships and having genuine relationships with 4Play. Everyone has such deep respect for everyone, and the respect is loved as well. We don't have fights. If we disagree, we talk about it, and it's amazing how that band works. It's a caricature of the way marriages and things should go down, because it's really been fun.
And you know what's really interesting in listening to Esprit de Four, I just felt, honestly, it was like a gearing up to Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's what it felt like, Harvey. It just feels like a coming home album.
Okay. I haven't deciphered it. That's a good way. I'll have to think about that, because there's a lot in what you just said there. There's a lot there. And we may have unconsciously, but we're so spiritual in the way we approach things, and we pray before we go on, we pray before we do things, and it's not that everyone's that we're so affiliated with a religion, but we feel a bond and a spirituality together, and I think it comes out in the music. We really are heartfelt about what we're playing, and hope to give a gift and give the gifts that we receive to everyone else. And pray that people get it, and it helps makes people feel better. And we're really honest about it. And I think our music is evolving with Chuck and the band. I think it's also we're moving forward as well. So you what you're saying is very perceptive, and I appreciate hearing. I hadn't heard it described like that. You know, you sound so young.
No, listen, I don't care who knows about this, because a lot of people say, oh, don't tell your age, because age is just a number. You're right. It is just a number. I'll be 60 next month, and I love it. I embrace it. It's just a real trip to be fully engaged in life and savoring each day. And when you hit 60, you should be absolutely thrilled that you made it this far.
That's, you know what, I agree with you 100%. You really should be, and you should celebrate it. And just try and take care of yourself, and take every day as a bonus. So I look
That's
at
right.
it.
You know, That's
funny.
Right.
My career has been so, to me, it's just been so amazing that I now look at it, I say, every single day that I get to play it, everyone I get to play with, it's a bonus. I'm just adding on. This is crazy. You know? So I enjoy it. I don't take anything for granted, and I certainly don't have any kind of ego about that, and I feel like this is just what a ride. It's amazing.
And
I'm
you know,
still trying to learn.
And that's the way it's always going to be, because if we stop to think of ourselves as students, we're lost. We're always going to be students. You can actually teach, and I know that you've been in a position where you've been a mentor and a teacher to so many, and so many people are grateful for you, but you always have had that humility to me, where you always want to absorb like the sponge that you were when you were a little kid, and listening to all that kinds of different music, and knowing that you would adhere to anything that you put your mind to. I just have this really strong feeling about you that people gravitated to you so quickly when you went to L.A. It's like, I want this guy for my session so much because he gets me.
You know what? I tried to get everyone. I tried to get into everyone's head. And I prided myself on not necessarily having to ask questions, but to have ESP and know what the music really needed. And that was the big thing, because there were so many people that could come in and just read the music cold. But I felt that my gift was to be able to embellish the music and take it to a place that they would hope, but there's no way that they could communicate on paper. And that's what I tried to do, to separate myself from other people. And I think that was one of my gifts. So, you know.
Undoubtedly. And now that the new Foreplay project is out, I can hear the cohesiveness with the guys so much. It's like Chuck Loeb has gelled and he feels comfortable, and I'm hearing the fun, and I'm hearing this warmth that just pops out. And honestly, Harvey, I was talking to Muse a little while ago. We were communicating back and forth, and I really didn't know, because the hard copy did not arrive. I was listening to what I could, and I'm immersing myself in Esprit de Four. So I don't know, because there's no credits in front of me, who wrote who.
Right.
And what did I gravitate to? The title track. And you said, well, guess what? Harvey wrote that. Love
wow.
it. I love
yeah,
it.
Well, you know, it's really, it's great to hear it that way, not really knowing, but you can almost hear the personalities of the guys. You know, the Foreplay is so much fun. We travel together. It's like a baseball team. We go out to eat. What are you doing? Where are you going? We go shopping together. I mean, we have an absolute great time. And it's really, really fun, and I hope it lasts. But the amount of times, I mean, we just hit a ball. I don't know how to explain it, so we have a ball. But Muse, first of all, talking about Muse, Muse is amazing.
Yes.
I found her, I guess Nathan introduced me to her through the Internet, and what an amazing person.
She is.
And she's just helped me out so much, and I appreciate her. She's wonderful.
She thinks the world of you, and when you get certain people who are in your corner, who you know have your back 24/7, that is worth gold, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. She really is full-time, all the time, has my back. I mean, she's responsible for me doing this radio show, which I never really thought of myself as even approaching doing something like that, you know, because, and she said, your voice sounds great for the radio. You should do a show. And the opportunity came up, and she said, well, try and see what happens. Let's see. Maybe he won't like you. And I did the show, and Jimmy said, would you like to be the regular, the permanent? And the guy says, oh, my goodness, was it any good, you know? And he says, absolutely. So I've been working hard. Like you said, I've been working hard at that. I get up early in the morning when it's dead quiet to record my show, 3 a.m. in the morning, and
wow.
Work hard at it. And do the research, listen to all the music, and find out something about the guys. It's like another job. And before we're getting ready to go on tour for 2.5 weeks, I had to put a couple of shows in the can, and boy, did I scramble to get those done, because I'm actually calling you from Kauai.
And I appreciate that so much. When Muse told me that, I went, oh, my gosh, you know, she's really got some pull with you, because I know that this is not necessarily something that you would gravitate to or look for, because you're already so bloody busy. But I do appreciate it so much, and I want to get to Esprit de Four, the title track, but I have to let people know that Harvey the other day, and Harvey, I don't want to embarrass you, but I was just so struck, and that's why I was teasing you a little bit on Facebook, because you might have said that you were a little nervous about the show, but here you are, talking about smooth jazz, and your voice is just so mellow, and all of a sudden, here's Brenda Russell with the intro to her song. That's in the background, and you're going, yeah, this is Harvey Mason, and I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Stick with me. I'll be here for a couple hours, and you talked up the freaking post. You talked up the vocal, and I went, I'm going to get my hands around his throat, and I'm going to strangle him. You have no reason to get worried about anything, because you're a natural.
Oh, wow, that's funny. Well, thank you. Coming from you, well, first of all, even though I'm here and I'm working, writing for a new record, which I'm doing, I know you want to get to some music, we can continue to talk, but since I found out that I was doing your show, I had to do it, because you've interviewed everyone, and you've been around a long time doing this, and I'm so honored that you would even have me on your show. So anytime that I could do it, I'd be on it. So,
well, bless your heart. You know,
absolutely.
Listen, and I'll tell people this. I told you this before we started the show. What this show is trying to do is certainly trying to pull in different elements of jazz and anything that fits under that umbrella. But the priority is that while I have you, while we are enjoying the culmination of all of the talents, not just a drummer, although you're the best in the business, but producer and writer and shrewd businessman and somebody who's got an acute sense of what sounds good, you are a legend. And it's ridiculous to do anything else but to honor legends while they walk among us. So I am thrilled that you're here.
Thank you. And with that, we move to this
music.
From the brand new CD just released yesterday, Foreplay.
On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
from Foreplay. That is the title track, Esprit de Fore, and Harvey Mason as our guest. And Harvey, I don't mind telling you, I don't know where this is coming from, but I'm a little weepy.
Oh, you know, there's a little spirituality in that song, and there's a little gospel flavor to it as well. And there's a choir at the end. My brother's a choir director at the church. I had him come in and put live voices on the end, singing at the end. So it sounds like a triumphant and celebratory feeling, and that's what I tried to achieve with that.
You really did. We were telling them, gosh, we have a really active chat room today, as you might suspect. And we were just marveling at the tune and the flow of the tune, and it just popped in my head. I had this vision. It sounds like an anthem. It sounds like the music that you play when someone of profound importance has entered the room. It's like somebody that you want to honor to the absolute nth degree, and this is the most hopeful and inspiring music that you can play for them.
Wow. Listen, Trish, will you travel with us? your descriptions and your intuitiveness are so spot on and so it's amazing. You might have to go on the road with us. I don't know.
Oh, God. Listen, you know what? Your music through the years, and think about that. People, I want you to think about this when you're listening live or in the archives. 22 years of Foreplay. Oh, my gosh. How did that ever happen? It's just amazing that you hit the ground running with this awesome combination that some people have described, Harvey, you know this, as seamless. A seamless, integrative unit of passion and spirit and camaraderie and fun. And you have taken it to the absolute wall. And now, listening to a few tracks, oh gosh, when people hear this CD, they're not going to be able to get through it without crying. You know that.
Well, I don't know that, but can I use what you just said? That was amazing. What a way of words. You have a way with words. It's just I mean, it's unbelievable. That's really, you know, but I don't have to say anything because you've just said it. And that describes Foreplay, and that's what we're all about, as I said. We literally love each other and care for each other. We're about to embark on a Mediterranean cruise.
Oh.
You know, the Dave Koz cruise.
Yes.
And we're going to have a ball. We're all taking our partners, taking our wives, and it's going to be great. We're going to have a great time. I'm looking forward to it. So, and that's a fun gig. We're going to play one concert, but we're going to be on the boat about 8 days, and then we're going to Aruba to do a show, and we'll be there for 5 days. That's
Foreplay. Wow, that's awesome. Oh, my gosh. And you know, it's going to be so funny to think about this in the days to come after the interview is over. Here you are. You've played with people who are known by just one name, Frank, Barbara, Herbie, Benson. It goes on
right.
And on and on. And does it occur to you, it must, that you are getting paid for basically having the time of your life?
It did occur to me from the time I was 14 when they first gave me a check for $50 to work at a hotel in a hotel band. I couldn't believe they actually paid me. I was so excited when they called me to come play because I didn't even own a set of drums. I had to borrow drums to play those gigs. And guys that were master drummers working in clubs knew, and they let me borrow drums. And then on any particular gig, I would show up with maybe a bass drum and a snare drum and a cymbal and maybe no hi-hat and maybe two cymbals and maybe a tom and maybe not. But people hired me anyway. I couldn't afford a drum set. And then to think they'd give me $50 or $100 at that age, and it was amazing because I remember working 7 days a week and getting a paycheck for $42, working 8 hours a day just doing things. So to me, it was amazing, and it still remains the same. The most important thing to me was to do the job and to think that I got paid. Of course, I was being a businessman later, but it's just amazing even now to think that I'll get paid to play. It's, you know, I'm in Kauai, and I'm looking at the ocean out here.
Right.
Palm trees and everything, and I'm writing, but I'm playing a gig. It's unbelievable. You know, so, like you say, I'm blessed.
You really are. and it's not lost on so many of us who are sensitive to an artist of your kind of caliber who has cut this wide swath of genres. I mean, you know, you've been on call for the Academy Awards 25 times to be their drummer. 4 first place plaques from Modern Drummer magazine because people thought so much of you. And here you must have in your private moments some time to really reflect on the fact that, and as you said, this is a bonus each day because so many that you've worked with, like Grover and Stanley Turrentine and Donna Summer and Freddie Hubbard and Miles Davis, they're not with us anymore. So, you know, here is an opportunity where the music inside your head, and this is a question for you, Harvey, does knowing this, that life has been so good and here you are to tell the tale, does the music in your head get more intense? Do you find yourself getting up in the morning saying, oh, my God, I want to write this so much. I feel it so deeply.
Well, you know, I do feel music deeply, and the music's always flowing in my head. And if left unconsciously, I'm always whistling and singing something, and it may not be known to anyone what it is. And when I start writing, I just start pulling things out of the sky that are in my brain. But I do have a certain intensity, and as a matter of fact, I re-signed a new deal with Concord Records, and I'm going to do a new record, new solo record, about two or three years. And I'm working on it, and I'm working with a lot of young people, listening to a lot of new, fresh music. And I'm taking my time. I'm going to take almost a year to make this record, but I've started. But I'm so far along now that I'm probably going to start early, recording early, but I've got some great stuff. It's going to be a great record. I'm really excited. I'm listening to a lot of young people, and a lot of young guys are so excited about working with me. To me, it's like, wow, would you work with me? And it's amazing. So I'm really working hard, and I'm here writing, actually, at the same time with a really talented writer who lives in Kauai, Michael Ruff. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's an amazing writer.
Yes.
So I'm working with Michael. We're writing together for 4 or 5 days, and then I'm doing a concert with him on Saturday night. And so it's a
wow.
Deal. I'm not letting any grass grow under my feet here. So I'm really excited about the new CD, and I'm treating it as though it could be my last CD. So I'm really into this. I want it to be really, 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 really special.
Well,
invitations now is going that way. It's going to be pretty fantastic.
And isn't that a great opportunity? Oh, my gosh, I'm so tickled to hear that you're still plowing forward with your own projects, because I was just, as I said earlier, immersing myself with Harvey Mason music. I mean, I already knew Foreplay, but I wanted to reacquaint myself with what Harvey did. So one of the songs that's going to get played in the course of the show after you and I say goodbye is The Mace.
Oh, you were right there, huh?
I did.
Oh, wow, you were back there. Oh.
Of course, because you know what? I mean, the 70s was just such a rife period with elements all coming together and blowing people's minds. It was freaking these straight-ahead jazz cats out, but too bad.
Well, you know, it's funny because my mentor is Quincy Jones. I work with him a lot, and I learned a lot about casting musicians, just like you were creating a movie. And those records from the 70s are pretty amazing. I still listen to them. As a matter of fact, 6 of them were released just about 2 months ago. They're all available now, and they're released in London. It's amazing
wow.
In progress. But I was saw by Clive Davis after being a studio musician. I guess he saw me in a lot of projects, and he actually invited me to sign Arista. I was one of his first signings with Barry Manilow, Melissa Manchester, Eric Carmen, Patti Smyth, and Gil Scott-Heron. We were the early stable of Arista Records with Clive Davis.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And I remember, oh, my God, I was going to Temple University in Philadelphia, and I was in the green room when Barry Manilow was playing the Mike Douglas Show.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something?
Isn't
wow.
that crazy? Yeah, that was such a hot period for music, and you were part of that. My God, the memories. Did you ever think that maybe you want to write a book or see the book translated into film?
I don't think my story is that unlike a lot of other people's. And other people may have had more obstacles and more different things, but I don't know. There's a writer that's approached me about doing it, but I think I'm a little bit shy about exposing all that I'd have to expose in order to make it an interesting book. So I don't think it'll ever happen. No, I don't think it's that sensational.
Well, you know what? These days, honestly, I think people are just so hungry for truth and about a wonderful person's experience with all of the excitement and the challenges and plowing through the challenges and getting to that triumph over and over again. You know what? I think people are shying away from the sensationalism, Harvey. That's just me saying this aloud because we're all so tired of it.
Well, I hope so. I enjoy reading the truth and reading good stories and feel-good stories rather than negative stories. And there's so many really great stories that I really revel in that. It's just amazing, you know. So that's what gets, I love it. And, you know, my son, I have three kids, and
yeah.
My son has become one of the biggest producers in the world. And I'm so proud of him. And my daughter's a, so the story continues, and he has the same name. I had him when I was 21 years old. I was in college. What was I doing, you know? But it turned out to be really, really cool, you know, and that's another story. So the name continues. Now he's bringing me a lot of extra joy.
And look, you know what? I actually went to your son's website, and I told a couple of people, my God, I felt like I went to Fort Knox because the website is just so hot. It's just one of those state-of-the-art, off-the-chain websites, and you have to enter, and there's doors that unfold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's doing so well. God bless him. You must be bursting.
Oh, I'm bursting. You know what I mean? What can I say? I'm appreciative, and I hope to share with other people. I keep trying to influence young people to study and keep their heads on straight and move forward and stay upbeat. And it can happen to other people, too. It's there for everyone.
I know it. And you know what? I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I wanted to get to one more track, and here's what I have. And maybe you can tell me what you want folks to hear. I have in my little roster, I have Sunny Moon, which I know that there's a story about, Put Our Hearts Together, and that's the vocal, All I Want to Do, which is pretty sexy, and Sugoi by Bob James.
Sugoi. You know what? I'd like you to pick it, because you obviously are into music and you appreciate it. I love you. I'm going to be able to hear it. You pick it. What would you think the people want to hear?
You know what? I want to go with a vocal, and I love the idea that on this particular album, it just struck me as so precious that Seiko Matsuda is singing this beautiful song, Put Our Hearts Together, and it's a song about what happened in Japan a few years ago, and it just touched me so much.
Well, the backstory is Bob wrote this song because we love Japan. We'll go to Japan as many times as we can. We're so appreciated over there. And when the tsunami hit, Bob wrote a song, and it became the theme song of an NHK documentary about the tsunami. And Seiko, who's a major artist in Japan, big hit records, heard the song, called NHK and asked if she could sing it, and not realizing that there were lyrics, because Bob's daughter had written lyrics to the song. And they sent her lyrics. NHK took care, paid for the whole thing. She sang on it. And when our record company heard it, they said, it's got to go on a record. And now it's playing in Japan, and the record's blowing up in Japan, and she's on it. And I guess she's going to come and sing it on a couple of concerts we're going to in February. And it's just Bob wrote it out of the goodwill and gave the proceeds of the song to a relief fund, because a lot of people, he was going there to work, lost their homes, lost musicians, lost their instruments, people lost their lives. All the proceeds go to their relief fund. That's the kind of person that we're talking about with Bob James, and what turned out to be something, a gift that he did for them, just turned out to be amazing for us because of our record selling, too. So it's just, you know, that's the heart of Bob James. What a generous gentleman and a great guy, and all the guys in the band like that. Pretty well.
And you know what? It just is further proof that when your heart's in the right place, that can't help but multiply itself.
Right, and, you know, Chuck Loeb said to me, you know, Bob James is living proof that good guys do not finish last.
That's right. Yes. Oh, my gosh. This is so wonderful. And if you would, please, Harvey Mason intro the song as you would on smooth jazz.
Yes, this is Harvey Mason, and you're about to hear from Foreplay, Put Our Hearts Together, on
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I like the fact that we do that together.
It's so cool.
Heads are better than just one. You can find the answer. And when the chips are done and something must be done, when we don't know who to turn to, maybe then is when we learn how to share.
So beautiful, and that's the tune that ends the album. It is just so magnificent. Harvey Mason is our guest, and Foreplay has just dropped, what, this is number 13 now, Harvey, correct?
That's right, 13.
13, Esprit de Four just dropped on Tuesday. Who you heard was Seiko Matsuda, who is huge. And that was a song called Put Our Hearts Together. There's the instrumental version, and then there's the vocal version. And just hit you right where you live, right inside your heart. So beautiful. And, Harvey, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time that you took. This is awesome.
Well, I've had a great time. I'm enjoying this. We could go on like this for a day, I think. It's been awesome. And, you know, you really are so special and so knowledgeable, and it's an honor for me to be here on the show with you.
Really, well, is. You know what? That means so much to me because in doing this since 1976, hello, my first interview
there
was
you
Debbie. Yeah, Debbie Boone was my first interview when she had You Light Up My Life.
Oh, what a story that was, too.
Oh, I know. We could talk about that for days because I don't know where Dad's head is at these days, but never mind. so much has transpired through the years, and now, you know, it's all come full circle, because having been involved in country music deeply for years and now involved so much in jazz, you begin to see who the shining lights are that are walking among us, and the people who still get the buzz. They had the buzz from long ago, and they still have the buzz. Do you know how much this generated since talk was that you were going to be on the show today? People were going out of their minds. I was getting phone calls, messages. You're talking about Harvey Mason going to be on your show? Are you kidding? So,
you know, the same can be said for you. You've had an amazing career, and you're blessed because you're still doing it after all that time. And the enthusiasm and the work that you put in, even for my show, and I know you do it for everyone, is amazing. And I hope people understand what you do to prepare to do these shows. And the kudos go out to you, because you still have the enthusiasm and the fire after all these years. I feel like we're old friends. We're going to have to hook up.
You know what? I knew that it would be like this. I really do, because, you know, once you know that there is a connection made, just like, gosh, Harvey, it's so wild. Having grown up in Jenkintown, PA, and spending so much time out, you know, in Philly and then in Ocean City, New Jersey, going to school at Bishop McDevitt High School, right down the road in Wincote, PA, Randy and Michael Brecker were going to high school.
Right. Unbelievable, those guys.
Oh, my God. So, you know, you have these connections that start early on, and you don't know who you're going to have a relationship, a friendship, who you're going to run into. And suddenly when you have the basis for that story, it's like you're going to be joined at the hip forevermore.
Right. Well, I'm excited, as you are, and I can't wait for my new record to be released. It's been called The Chameleon Project, and it's going to be a life's work. I'm really pouring everything I have into this project. So just like I feel that you pour everything into every single show, I'm ready. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, listen, would you do me this promise? When that is about ready to pop, would you come on back and maybe we can do a little co-hosting thing where you can just talk about everything under the sun and program your own music, what you would like to hear played?
Oh, that'd be great to do that. That'd be wonderful. I'd love to co-host with you. That'd be fun. Yes, please.
Okay, we'll hook that up, and I'll stay in touch with Muse and find out what's going to be happening. And meanwhile, we're going to talk about, in shows from this day forward, where Foreplay is going to be, because people need to see the interaction of all of you live on stage.
It's special. It's really special. We play a huge array of songs, from going back from the first CD all the way up to the new CD, and it's enjoyable. It's kind of a happening. I think it's unique to see guys that have been together that have such synergy and genuinely love each other and keep pushing each other musically to get to new things. And it's fun, I think. It's fun. You know, we did the orchestral concert, which I hope people get to see, playing with the Japanese Symphony, and we had a lot of music orchestrated. And I'm hoping that comes out, because that gives displays another side of Foreplay that people may not think it exists. But that's an interesting project we did as well. I hope you get to see that, Trish.
Oh, definitely. Oh, my gosh. We'll make it a point. These days, look, just to be able to see the caliber of musicianship on stage, like Foreplay demonstrates time and time again, honest to God, Harvey, I'll jump in a plane and go.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm excited also by all the young talent. There's so many young, fresh musicians, and the music's going to continue. You know, and they're passionate, so it's fun.
Well, listen, I have a question for you before I let you go. This person has been holding on the phone. Now, I'm going to ask you if you know a 205 area code, which I know is Birmingham, Alabama. Would there be anybody that you know right off the top of your head calling from Birmingham today?
Not that I know of, but I've met people all over the world, so.
I know. Do you want to take a chance?
We'll take a chance, okay.
Okay,
sure,
okay. 205 area code, I apologize for letting you hold for so long, and I have no way of checking to see who this is going to be. Who is this? You're on Hybrid Jazz. Hello?
Hello, this is James Spraggins.
Hey, James Spraggins. This is PJ Spraggins. Harvey Mason,
yes.
This is a wonderful musician who apparently is holding because he worships you.
I don't know that he worships me, but it's great to meet you, and congratulations on your career as well. Oh, thank you very much, sir. And Trish is correct. I follow your career, or have followed your career for at least the last 10, 15 years. And I'm a drummer myself, and I really, really look up to your musicianship and your character, and I just want to personally say thank you for all that you've done as far as being an inspiration to my playing. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for voicing that, and it humbles me, and I hope to hear you play it, and wish you the very best in your career, and I hope to hear you play it, and thank you very much for the call and for reaching out.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. My pleasure.
PJ,
Trish,
that was
thank you for all
so
that
nice.
You do.
Oh, look, you know what? Harvey was talking about this before, PJ, and you know, he was talking essentially about you, these younger cats that are coming up that have taken that torch and have run with it. And Harvey, this is one of those gentleman right here. He not only is an absolute superstar where he is, but he has gained so much inroads not only for his artistry, but also for his spiritual character. He is a wonderful person.
Great. Well, I look forward to hearing his music, and I'll reach out. Trish, maybe you can turn me on at his spot, and I certainly would listen to his music.
That's
Hope
great.
Pick up some pointers.
Oh, how about that? How about that, Mr. Spraggins?
I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I am very serious. I look to see what I can learn from other people's playing. Has me in a shed.
We'll do that. We'll hook you up. And thank you, PJ, so much.
Oh, thank you, Trish.
Thanks.
You have a good day.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Well, Harvey, this has been wonderful, and I thank you, and the hour is almost nigh, and you've been on this horn listening and talking and sharing your life, and what is it now? Just tell us, what is it now? If you had another little dream come true, knowing that each day is a gift from God, what would you like to do that maybe you've never given voice to?
I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote some music. I'd love to meet President Obama, and I wrote a wonderful campaign tune for him. I'm sorry he didn't get to use it, but it was pretty special. I think I'd love to meet President Obama with foreplay for the band to play for the president. I think that's something I'd love to see happen.
Wow. All right. You voiced it, so it's going to happen.
Wow.
Yep. It's as simple as that. And with that, God bless you. Whatever you do, whatever you have done has turned into the finest gold, with quality every step of the way, and with the spirit of the gentleman that you always carry with you. I am so tickled to have spent this time with you, Harvey. Thank you.
Wow, that sounds like a benediction. And it was. And it was a benediction. Trish, again, thank you very much for having me. And what a wonderful show, and we'll have to do this again, please.
We will, and we'll make that happen. It'll be fun, and hopefully you can get away from doing your other radio job so you can hang out with moi.
Absolutely, and maybe you can come over on my show sometime.
Well,
you know
what? I'd be so mesmerized by you talking, I'm not sure if I'd recover, but we'll try.
Okay, we'll try it. All right.
Thank you, Harvey. God bless. We'll
Thank
see you,
you
soon.
All right. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Harvey Mason. Oh, my gosh. And we're certainly going to get to a third foreplay track from Esprit de Four. Just an amazing project. And as was mentioned, it just feels like a coming home, enveloping warmth, umbrella. It just feels like you've opened the door to what you want the holiday season to be all about. and you've got everything at your disposal to make it happy. That's the way it struck me. And you'll hear when you hear each track, there's some sexy involved. Oh my gosh, Harvey wrote this song on the CD that you're going to want to hear, a little bit of Venus, a little bit of Conjuring Venus. And then you'll hear another vocal that will make you feel in a romantic mood. And you're going to feel as though there are carol bells, even though they're not there. It's just this welcoming kind of vibe with this industrial strength artistry involved. Can't say enough about it. I just love it so. And maybe if Harvey's listening, and I know Muse is on the chat room lineup here, we're going to go back. Can we do this? Can we go back to the 70s, please, and hear something from Earth Mover? Because this sort of captures Harvey Mason, the person, Mace, the guy, and it's called The Mace on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. just as I have had every time I hear that song, I have chills again. I must have heard this song by Tracy Hamlin, her version of Good Morning Heartache, about, what, 30, 40 times since I've had the CD, Better Days, and still I am completely riveted. And here's one of life's ironies, okay, and further proof that this whole small world syndrome does get smaller and smaller all the time. I love it. Now, we were talking to Harvey Mason, and P.J. Spraggins called in to say how much he appreciated Harvey. P.J. is playing drums on that track. Yeah, Tracy and P.J. go back a ways, and P.J. plays all the time with Eric Essex, and it just made for a real sweet mix on that song. Phil Davis on piano and keyboards, Sean Michael Ray on bass, Melvin Jones on trumpet, who was off the chain, and Tracy wowing us with that voice. And I promise that you're going to be hearing a few tracks from Tracy. You have so far. I want to do this so that folks know she's going to be in concert on the 30th, just days away, a Sunday, 5 o'clock, in Timonium, Maryland, at Magoobies on Deer Cove Road, $25, and you are going to hear some top entertainment. Stacy Carver opens the show with his comedy, and Tracy finishes things up, and you will feel finished by the time you're done, because her voice is crazy good. You can go to TracyHamlinMusic.Eventbrite, that's a B-R-I-T-E, and get your tickets. And what you just heard, again, is from her Better Days CD. Just awesome. Love her so much. Grover Washington Jr., mercy, from 1975, 76, mid-70s, y'all. Bob James on that. You heard Harvey say that's how he met Bob. And Harvey playing drums, and Eric Gale on guitar, Gary King and Phil Upchurch trading off on bass, and Mr. Grover Washington Jr., who we miss so much on alto, soprano, and tenor saxophone, just making us miss him so much. Oh, my gosh. That's a 9-minute track. Wasn't that choice? Oh, jeez. Mr. Magic just sent this course of new energy flowing into the jazz world, because Grover knew how to turn things over so that R&B and funk were in there, and he never gave up the jazz that he loved so much, but he wanted to infuse this new life, and man, did he ever. Mm. And speaking of which, Harvey Mason, also back in the 70s, isn't that something? The Mace. From Earth Mover. Woohoo! Man, just real nice to be able to dip back and see the progression of what Harvey took from all that education. What an education he had. Oh, my gosh. And then turn it right around, making it work for him, just knowing the right kind of vibe he can put on a piece on his own work, let alone the myriad of people he worked with. Speaking of which, we're going to play another one. I'm telling you, Mace is going to be all through this show. And I wanted to again, go back to the 70s, because this is so much fun. George Benson, Breezin', shall we do this? Oh, let's, shall we? Yeah, multiple awards. The top of 3 formats when this thing came out. People are still buzzing about this. It just set the road gold for George Benson. And he had his good friend, Harvey Mason, playing drums on the title track on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
place to stay. A sense of humor, cause life ain't funny. A big stick keeps the wolves away. You need a car with good tires on it. The right place to eat barbecue. A heavy duty set of jumper cables. No holes in your walking shoes. The main thing you're gonna find you need. A fertile place to plant your feet. You gotta find somebody to love. Someone to be there for you night and day. Somebody to share with, be a part of it. Love ain't no good till you give it away. Got to give it away. I got to recommend some life insurance. Be prepared to dial 911. Pay close attention to your high blood pressure. Stay away from the man with the gun. You need a reason to get up in the morning. Make sure the clock got smooth control. Be sure you got a place to run for cover. Cause overnight things can get real cold. You're gonna find out sooner or later. You need a common denominator. You got to find somebody to love. Someone to be there night and day. Give it away. Give it.
Have mercy. I hope you recognize that as the late, great James Seta Hawkins, otherwise known as Etta James. 2003 from Let's Roll, Somebody to Love. And I have to tip the hat to that Texas-Tennessee collaboration right there, because Delbert McClinton from TX and Gary Nicholson, living in Nashville, wrote that song. And, man, I'll bet you their hair stood up on end when they heard Etta sing it. Whew! 17 Blues Awards. Blues Foundation and Grammy Award winner in the Rock and Roll and Grammy and Blues Hall of Fame. Started off, I don't know if you know this or not, 16 years old. Roll With Me, Henry. She was 16. What a life. January 25th, 1938 to just this past year, January 20th, 2012. We lost Etta. We lost somebody really big in the music world, but thank God we have some tunes like that. This was a hot CD back in 2003. Another song on it, The Blues Is My Business, and Business Is Good. Just love it. Tizer. We heard Tizer, actually Lyle Tizer, the other day on Cool Jazz Conversations. Wasn't that fun? Along with Lee Ritenour. Man, that was a good show. And Lyle Tizer's group, Tizer, is not to be confused with the red-colored soft drink that is so popular in the UK. Okay, just want to let that be known. Now, this new album, Downbeat, whoa, is it full of sounds like that. What you heard was Tanzanika, wasn't that awesome? On the CD, among others, Kelly Minucci and Karen Briggs. Lau himself is a keyboardist and a composer, and he's just a young man. He's younger than Joy, for the love of money. Nobody's younger than Joy, but he's 31, and he has done so much in his life. And son of a gun, I just found out that he's going to be with Down to the Bone in Catalina in October. And then he's going to be at Spags, Spagatini's, on the 20th. My ladies in California, make sure you support Tizer. That's going to be crazy. Oh, Lord. Look, here's a little situation. I don't know if my friend Diane Gibson is going to hang on to a car that she's going to sell. It's a Mercedes. And I thought, wouldn't it be just wonderful if I could get a plane ticket to the L.A. area, pick up the Mercedes, and then drive it back to Baltimore just in time to see Tizer and East Bay Soul. And those guys are coming up, by the way. I can't keep away from EBS. Yeah, can't do it. So they're coming up. But just to let you know, we heard George Benson from 1976 and Breezin, Harvey Mason on that particular album. Yes. Yes, he was. Top the pop, R&B, and jazz charts, multiple Grammys. And it's just so coincidental, though I do not believe in coincidences, but I just love the fact that Ralph McDonald was playing percussion on Breezin, and then he wrote Mr. Magic that Grover Washington Jr. took to the top of the world. Then Phil Upchurch is on Breezin, and he was also on the Mr. Magic CD. And what song was huge for George on this Breezin album but This Masquerade, written by Leon Russell. And Leon Russell is going to be part of the show today because here he is touring at the age of 70. He's going to be in Baltimore on Friday at Soundstage. And it just so happens, so maddening, because on Friday, Leon Russell's going to be in Baltimore. Matt Cusson's going to be in Delta, PA, up the road. And then across town in D.C., Larry Carlton's playing at the Hamilton. It's just not fair. Just not right. We have to make a decision about who we're going to go see. I pretty much know, and there's a reason why. Larry Carlton doesn't know that when he plays the Hamilton, he might see some faces that will blow his mind, because in town for the weekend are the board of directors for the Thelonious Monk Institute and the drum competition. There's going to be the big gala at the Monk Institute on Sunday, and I'll tell you who the folks are that will be in town, and you'll call me a liar, but I'm telling you the truth. So put a bookmark in that thought. Let's get to a birthday gal from yesterday, shall we? Actually, we have two in the show, one internationally known, one on her way to being internationally known. Let's start off with Candy Dulfer first, shall we? Too Close from her CD Crazy on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I still can remember just how it began. A friend introduced us, and I took her hand. Felt it too. Someone said something, but no words came through. No.
And the love of my life
is dark, but is light. She glows. Against us, our two separate hearts, we burned in the evening, and then we would part. Her voice would come to me, and soon I would know.
Mind, we have to make sure we throw a bone to my alter ego, Shaniqua, from time to time. And both me, Trish, and Shaniqua love that man. Daryl from East Bay Soul is just so wonderful. He is just a throwback to some of the great voices in the 60s. And when I first heard him, I thought, oh, my mind is going in a gazillion different directions, because memories were coming back of different places and people that I saw back early, mid-60s. it was just such a trip to hear him. And then knowing that he's with East Bay Soul, it's a lethal combination because you've got that big band sound and Daryl just making everything pop. That was Love of My Life from East Bay Soul 2.0. Got a big kick. I never really focused lately on the East Bay Soul fan page on Facebook, and I just love it. And Beach, my bride of Funkenstein, who's with us today, as is the usual case, God bless her, she'll appreciate this because there's just something about the faces and then the pointing of the finger to Greg Adams is just such a kick. Greg and the guys are going to be in Redondo Beach coming up very soon in October, and they're going to be at Spaghetti's in October as well. Ooh, if we could just coordinate a car pickup and go to Spaghetti's to see EBS, life would be worth living. Mm. So, East Bay Soul 2.0, and you're going to hear more dates as time goes. Well, I'll throw them out at you now. They are actually going to be in Ram's Head right after Spaghetti's, I think. Wait a minute. No, that can't be true. Spaghetti's is maybe a couple months down the road, maybe not in October. But Ram's Head is coming up in December, and then after Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland, our neck of the woods here, they will go to Sculler's in Boston and finish out the year there. Woo! So I'm not making plans until after the election is over, and we'll see what transpires. But he doggies, would that be some kind of New Year's Eve gift to everybody who sees them? And I don't know what they're going to do at Ram's Head in Annapolis because that is an intimate venue. So you have the guys coming from Oakland. All of East Bay Soul on the stage, woo, scary good. I don't know if Chris and Valerie and the rest of the staff are going to be ready, but there are going to be folks who will be gathered outside the little Main Street area there in Annapolis wondering what the heck is going on because the roof will blow up. Speaking of which, Herbie Hancock, his Headhunter CD from 1973, actually, round about October is when that particular CD was worked on, and it was Herbie's 12th. It just catapulted the whole notion of jazz funk into your face. This was so accoladed. I mean, all music, Downbeat, Rolling Stone, The Guardian, Jazz Times were falling all over themselves to talk about this album. Why are we playing it today especially? Because Harvey Mason was on the drums. Oh, yes, he was. And, man, being part of that whole scene, can you imagine? Yeah, I guess you can. It was Herbie, of course, on Fender Rhodes electric piano and his Hohner D6 clavinet and his ARP Odyssey synthesizer and his ARP soloist synth. Bernie Maupin on saxophones and alto flute and bass clarinet and saxello. Paul Jackson on electric bass and marimbula. Bill Summers on a sorted percussion and Harvey Mason on drums. Oh my gosh, yeah. Doing their thing, don't you know, recorded in San Francisco. And Herbie, just want to know what was going on through Herbie's head at that time. And what kind of company he was keeping and what kind of tools were in his box at that time, if you know what I mean, and I think you do. Candy Dulfer. If you want to find out about Candy's amazing life, candydulfer.nl, short for the Netherlands. That was from Crazy. Too Close. That was given a little taste of production by Ulko Bed. And on a few of the tracks, it was Black Eyed Peas' music director, Prince Board. Not to be confused with the other Prince who Candy worked with as well. Prince Board is P-R-I-N-T-Z. And I have to say something about Candy Dulfer. It was her birthday yesterday. Girlfriend, if you have survived the road with Prince and Maceo Parker, you have done enough in your life. Candy, playing that sax, Daddy had a lot to do with that, a band leader at the age of 14, and man, she's just cooking with gas. Going to be doing dates in Las Vegas, Miami, New York, coming to the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia, also to Ramshead, on her way to Canada. She just picks the dates that she really wants to play because she doesn't have to do anything else. You know what I mean? She doesn't. Now, I want to play something special for you. The same song twice, if that's okay by you. One an instrumental, one a vocal. And actually, what I want to start with is another birthday guy, then segue into, because it was Earl Clue's birthday the other day, and I wanted to make sure he got acknowledged. And I wanted to play the song, too, because it's so fuzzy. Woo! Nobody is like Earl Clue if you're talking about fuzzy. And then it will segue into the instrumental part of the song, which was going back now in time, going back. The song was written in 1935, and two collaborators got together. They did the song, and it was absolutely magic. And then after that, the vocal of the instrumental that you're going to hear that was done in just this past year by a gal who also celebrated her birthday yesterday. So it's magic time on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. First up, Earl Clue and Sleepyhead from The Spice of Life. Enjoy.
Thank you.
you know what? It takes a few listens to understand the amount of work and spontaneity in that particular track. Honest to gosh, it just is amazing. And Harvey Mason touched on this when we were talking in the first hour of the show. You know, it's all about that chemistry. He's talking about foreplay, of course, and the myriad of associations that he has had through the years where things seem to move organically. And that was the case right there. That was Micah Chevalier with keyboardist Daoud Saeed and their interpretation of Duke Ellington's In a Sentimental Mood. Woo! That was cool. 8 minutes worth of that. I love it. We had a blast last night at the Big Easy celebrating Micah's birthday. The pictures will tell the tale. It was really, really cool. And just some great music. It was a sweet vibe. It was a get-together for folks who haven't seen each other for a while. And Miss Rita just ruling the roost there on Liberty Road in Randallstown. Just real nice to see the guys and the band and the folks who come to congregate and have my little glass of wine, checking the action out. So here's the deal. So this will be sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered as a promise. Micah got her purple multicolored flowers last night from me, but I also want to get her one of these Lisa McLowry beautiful mess T-shirts. Everybody has admired this shirt wherever I went, and I wore it last night to the Big Easy, and Micah's going to get one because she needs to have it because we're both beautiful messes. Heavy emphasis on the mess. Nah, Micah's got it together, man. Micah.net has all the info. There's so much going on with that girl. Our collective heads are spinning, honestly. She's just doing great, and you'll see her new hairdo in the pictures. It's great. We heard John Coltrane and Duke Ellington, 1966, from the Duke Ellington and John Coltrane album. It was recorded in September of 62, when John was 36 and Duke Ellington was 63. And man, you talk about seamless. I've used that a couple of times today. Nobody could believe the synergy between these two. Probably Duke and Train couldn't believe it either. It just seemed like they were together for a while. Duke frequently liked to get together with the younger cats and just feed off of their new energy. And Coltrane was just so astounded that Duke Ellington had asked him to do this. And John said he wished he could have done some things over, but maybe they wouldn't have been as good. I don't think anything's going to ever get better than that In a Sentimental Mood. And here's how Ellington wrote that song. North Carolina, a party at a tobacco warehouse. No joke. Duke was sitting at the piano. A friend of his had a problem with a girl. So the guy brings the girl over. People gathered around the piano. Words were exchanged about, Duke, can you help me out? So Duke Ellington on the spot composed In a Sentimental Mood. Just thinking about that just blows my mind because it's a favorite song of so many people now, and you just heard two reasons why, huh? Great stuff. Errol Clue from his Spice of Life CD, that was Sleepyhead. No! And that was such an anticipated album because it was 9 years after Peculiar, what was it called? Peculiar Situation? I forget the name of the album. My head is so full of the stuff that we have heard today. But it was 9 years after his last CD. And I know Earl Clue stuff like the back of my hand, but I just can't think at this point because I'm still with Harvey Mason. Oh, my gosh. So we were talking in the chat room about what's your favorite Earl Clue CD. And Earl hopefully will be here before he does his Ramshead Annapolis gig in October. We had this interview a couple of years ago, and Earl was talking about the fact that he just is so mind blown by his career. And he goes back in time and can't quite believe that it's the same guy. He's done so much for so long. And, of course, we talked about One on One, that beautiful 1979 release with Bob James. Bob James was certainly discussed today, right? So he was asking me about songs on 101, One on One, and I told him that Carrie was one of my favorite songs in the whole world. And he was really quite taken by that. And then I said, I really want that played at my funeral someday. And he went, are you kidding me? And I'm not. That song, you know how some songs infiltrate your soul? That really did. I was thinking of Peculiar Situation from 1999 is what I was thinking of. Okay, so there you go. Now, let us turn our attention, shall we, to a song here that is the third one, as I promised you, from 4Play. Esprit de Four, the name of the project that dropped on Tuesday. This is one of those cool songs that you're going to remember. It's an homage to somebody that is really close to the guys. The song is called Sunny Moon, and I'll explain. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yes. Thank you. is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my love in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Darling, can't you please see through me? 'Cause we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of the truth, withholding nothing. You came out in front and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love's in their hiding. I love you in a place where there's no space and time. I love you for my life, you are a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone and I was singing this song to you.
Whole lot of people who have done that song through the years, most notably for me, Willie Nelson from Honeysuckle Rose many years ago, what, 1980? Oh, golly. And Donny Hathaway, certainly. And they all have put their stamp on it for sure. But Leon Russell, that song was his, and I don't know what was going on in his life at the time, but I'm telling you what, You cannot listen to that song if there is anything even remotely happening in your life that is close to what he just described. Woo! Even talking about it is just real emotional. Oh my gosh. Remember when we were together when our life is over? Oh gosh. But we're alone now, and I'm singing this song for you. Just an amazing song. And Leon, 70 years old, it's just hard to believe because, man, I remember him back when he was a wild child with Rita Coolidge and the gang in the 60s and the 70s, touring with Delaney and Bonnie and friends. Lord have mercy. Leon has some stories, and he is still doing his thing. He's going to be in Baltimore at Soundstage this Friday. If you need more information, go to leonrussellrecords.com. It's a nice page, and they've got all the information you need about Soundstage. My son is so anxious to go, working real hard to get a pair of tickets for he and Dad. That should be a hoot. Leon, just a couple of things about him. Raised in Oklahoma, went to the Will Rogers High School. He was on piano at the age of 4 and worked with everybody and his mama. He just showed such promise. He went to be a session player in L.A., graduated to being an arranger. Just things kept getting better from that. The Rolling Stones, Ray Charles, Graham Parsons, Frank Sinatra, Eric Clapton. Oh, my God. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Inducted just last year, and you know about the success of This Masquerade. That was the B-side of Tightrope, by the way. Yeah. And if you never knew him for any other reason except for a Delta Lady that Joe Cocker made famous, that would be enough, but there's so much more involved to Leon Russell, to be sure. George Duke. George Duke from Deja Vu, and that was What Goes Around. Now, I'm going to tell you something. George is doing his thing as one of the board of directors at the Monk Institute, as in Thelonious Monk Institute, in D.C. this weekend. They're having the drum competition and the annual gala on the 22nd and 23rd. And the drum competition is going to be one thing that's very exciting. Then there is going to be this women music and diplomacy event, the gala, featuring Madeleine Albright, an honorary situation involving Madeleine Albright, Kennedy Center. In town in D.C. this weekend, Wayne Shorter, Patty Austin, Gretchen Parlato, Herbie Hancock, Randy Brecker, Lee Ritenour, Aretha Franklin, and George Duke. This is just a few. And one of my guests for next week, Claire Daly, who is just a trip. She's another story entirely. So wish me luck, because I'm thinking that I just want to hit it to see Larry Carlton at the Hamilton in D.C. And then send a little invitation out by way of public Facebook as opposed to writing private messages. And anybody that I'm friends with, it's right out there so they can see that they're not being singled out. It would be cool for some of these folks to just gather to support Larry Carlton on Friday, if they're going to be in town, right? And surprise the shiggity out of Larry Carlton. I think that would be a gas, don't you? Because Larry doesn't expect it. Wouldn't it be great just to see Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock pop in and George Duke and Gretchen? It would be so much fun. We heard, too, what did we hear? Foreplay. Oh, yes. A little tribute to one of the managers in Foreplay, Sonny Abelardo. That was Sunny Moon from the brand new Esprit de Four CD. Wasn't that cool? Oh, Lord. Let's see if I'm going to have time to play this music. Oh, let's do it, shall we? Throw caution to the wind. Daoud Saeed playing keyboard in the background, who we heard earlier in A Sentimental Mood with Micah Chevalier. He was there last night. Let me just say to you this. Had a ball with Harvey Mason. Hopefully everybody hearing had a ball too, either live or in the archives. Thank you to my stalwarts, my bride and Griselda, and Matt coming in. He was in here at the beginning. He came in late. A whole bunch of people to see to hear the actual interview. And then hopefully there will be another crowded chat room on Tuesday because Joe Sample will be here. Speaking of keyboard. So we'll have a ball. Joe, of course, was on Cool Jazz Conversations like over a year ago with Joy Hall and myself. And we have met in the meantime with my friend Anita King and my son. So hopefully this will be really cool. We can get to talk about Joe's upcoming event at Ramshead. I wish I was getting paid cash money from Ramshead to talk about it so much, but that is the bomb right there. And listen to this. Dwight Sills was talking about the fact that it would be really cool to move to Maryland because of all these venues around town. So keep your fingers crossed for that. Thank you so much for everything that you do to support Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. God bless you, my friend. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. And I love you all. And I mean it. Love you. Bye.